This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson. Alongside our co-host today, Ryan Cozy, we host every week as we bring you what God is doing throughout Western New York right to the radio on Christ Together Radio, and just kind of letting you know the different ways that God is working through the Christ Together Network in Western New York, through church planting and through engaging everyday people and following Christ, and just so many other things that different pockets of influence that people are having for the sake of the gospel. And we're just excited about this program. We've been doing it for about a year now, or just under a year, I guess.
Just it under would be. A year. But yeah. We've got some good material, so it's been fun.
Yeah, it has been. It's been great, Ryan, and I really enjoyed last week.
Yeah.
We know this in radio, is that, you know, a lot of the dynamic of the show depends on the guest and the topic and who you have on. And
yeah.
Pastor Chad from Lumber City Church, just so great to have him here and talking about his personal story of how God began to do a work in his life. And just had, you know, what's really cool, Ryan, is that we see this throughout the Bible, as people look back and they see how God has always meant it for good.
Yeah.
You know, Joseph is the biblical text that talks about that, but it's so true in just so many different things, how God is always preparing in different parts of our life when we don't even know it.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so interesting that people are always worried about the future and worried about what am I going to do when I, you know, what's God going to do with my life and how am I going to make a big impact? And he's preparing you right now, no matter where you are, for what God's doing. And we can see story after story of where that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for those that are listening at home or in the car, when you hear that, you know, while God is, he's doing that, the people that he's doing that in, they were moving at the time, right? And so it's not just wait for God to perfect you and then jump in. It's in your daily jumping in of following God and trying to discern his call on your life and where he wants you to go. He begins to chip away and work at you, work on you, sanctify you. But it's not that you're idle. It's that you're moving. And day by day by day by day, you begin to reflect kingdom living, hopefully. Hopefully that's representative of the gospel. And so for me, when I heard Chad's story, that's what I hear. I hear God radically transforms the life of an individual. He takes all of those prior experiences that Chad received prior to following Jesus, and he begins to use them. He begins to sanctify Chad, and he begins to use those experiences to make a very tangible and meaningful difference in the context that he's in today. I love that. Only God can do that. Yeah. Only God.
It's so true. And in the organizational world, we call it paralysis by analysis, is that you end up thinking about so many different things and so worried about taking that step that you don't do it. And that's, like you said, I love about what Chad, he just said, God wants me to do this. I'm going.
Yeah.
You know, and just and left a lot to come to the Buffalo area where he just felt like it was home. So today, Ryan, we're going to get more in depth with Chad. Chad's great to have you again back here on Christ Together
Thanks
Radio.
For having me.
Chad Rieselman and of Lumber City Church. We're going to get more in depth as to what Lumber City Church is doing in the town of North Tonawanda, a place that I kind of love. You know, my home church now that I'm serving at as an elder is Grace Church in Tonawanda, which is just down the street from where you guys are. And I live in Wheatfield area, so I drive through North Tonawanda every day. I drive down Twin City Highway every
TNT
day.
TNT sounds dynamite.
That's right. That's right. I got family that lives in North Tonawanda, so I love the area.
Yeah.
I love the blue-collar nature. And I think for a lot of people, Chad, as we get into Lumber City Church, we want to tell them what the whole Lumber City thing is.
Sure. Yeah.
A lot of people probably don't know the stories there, and we'll get into that also, and just maybe reinforce how you got here quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And what we talked about last week, if people are just tuning in today to hear that. And just also about the church planting initiative, Ryan, we can talk about that and what God is doing. So I'm excited to hear from Chad.
Yeah, I am too. And where God has placed him in North Tonawanda. North Tonawanda is a great place. I spent, when I was in graduate school, I lived on 14th Avenue. So,
I didn't know that.
Oh, really? Yeah. I lived in interesting times on 14th Avenue. And so just the familiarity with Oliver Street, still get my car fixed over there at Brownies. They're great guys. And I just love North Tonawanda. And I think God has brought Chad He has strategically placed Chad in the team of Lumber City in North
Tonawanda. When I was in high school, we used to bridge jump in North Tonawanda.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Off the train. I'm not encouraging. Oh, boy. This is bad. This is on the air. Yeah, I'm not encouraging that. Do not. We were professionals, and you should not do that ever.
That's awesome.
We used to skip midterms and go jump into the canal. So I'll digress, and we will get on to ministry, because when I start talking about personal things, it gets a little dicey in here. So anyway, this is Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson. Actually, no, I'm Ryan Cozy. I'm Brett Larson. Ryan Cozy joins us every week, too, as we co-host together and talk about what God is doing in Western New York. Today, Chad Rieselman of Lumber City Church joining us. You won't want to tune out. You'll want to tune in and tell others to tune in because you want to hear the story. Chad's a great storyteller, and you'll want to hear what God is doing through Lumber City Church. Just an active church. Representing the gospel and just about everything they do. They're just putting hands and feet to the gospel, and I love it. Yeah. And I love, Chad, the simplicity of your ministry. I can't wait to hear more about just how you've simplified things and figured out what North Tonawanda needs and how you can reach them best. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so cool that you're just you're not assuming anything, and you're just open-handedly going into service for Christ our King. So, Christ Together Radio, we'll be back right after this.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on His mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy, co-hosting today and every week here on Christ Together Radio, 9 a.m. on Saturdays and 11 a.m. on Sundays. So if you miss us on Saturday or miss part of the show, tune in again on Sundays. You can catch us at 11 a.m. If you're listening here on Sunday at 11 a.m., you can catch us next Saturday at 9 a.m. And also online, if you go to the WDCX website, WDCXradio.com, go to programs, you can click Christ Together Radio. All of our past programs are up there. So if you want to find out more and they're labeled, you can, and if a friend of yours has been on and you missed it, you can check it out there. Or if you want to just know more about what God is doing in Western New York, you can check it out there. Today, Chad Rieselman of Lumber City Church joining us. And Chad, I think I knew I'd like you when you pulled in the driveway. I think, do you have a Ford F-150?
I do. I've been driving pickup trucks my whole life.
Yeah, he's got a quad cab Ford F-150 and he parked next to my Silverado F-150. So we'll race later.
All right.
Ford and Chevy. But I knew I'd like you then. I'm a truck guy too. So Ryan, great to have Chad here today. Just a great guy. Fits in, again, when you pull in with an F-150, you're going to fit in North Tonawanda and you're going to fit in Buffalo.
Right? Yeah. Absolutely. By the way, I'm a truck guy, but I drive a late model Saturn Ion. And so,
if it's a four-door, you're allowed to call it a Cadillac.
Times is the phrase I remind myself of. God is humbling me.
Kids will do that to you.
One day I'll get back in my pickup truck. Yes. But one of the things that where we left off last week, mm-hmm. we wanted to pick this up was, so God begins to use the people of Lumber City pretty tangibly mm-hmm. in the city of North Tonawanda. And the mantra that you had talked about is, you know, preach the gospel, run to the poor. Mm-hmm. And God began to use you all within the city schools, actually, and in partnership with them. And you started talking about boxes of hope and just making a tangible difference in the lives of people that need help in mm-hmm. North Tonawanda. And then God began to show you had three rhythms with which you could do that, and you can kind of revisit those. But one of the things that I wanted to pick up on the story of Lumber City, because I think this is awesome, is as God began to increase your presence in the city, you all began to realize that where you were situated was not the most strategic place, and it led Lumber City to do something kind of unorthodox for a church. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about that, help the audience understand a little bit more about what y'all did.
Yeah, we did our Box of Hope outreach Christmas 2016. 174 households delivered a gift for every child in that household up to 18 years old, specific gifts that they asked for within a budget window. A box of food that came from one of the classrooms in the entire school district did the food drive. Every homeroom had a box in it, and the kids from those classes filled those boxes with specific items. Gift cards from all the faculty through all the different raffles and things that they did. Mm-hmm. We delivered all that stuff to 174 households in our city. We did an online registration, and even if we did a paper registration, we put all that data into the survey that we sent out. And what it did for us is it gave us some really, really great information. Now, I'm an input guy. I like to see, you know, I like to have well, I like making well-informed decisions. Although, once we go, we go. And I like the answer no just as much as yes. So I know not what to do. But we began to pour through this data and we saw some things. One of the first things that came up was 86% of the 174, households listed a woman as a head of household. So we knew single moms, just like, our conversation in 2011
years ago,
right?
Yeah.
So there was that hit right off the bat. Only 23% of other men in that household had any relationship to any one of the children in that household.
Wow.
There was this other number that kind of came out of the data that showed that there are three, sometimes four generations living in a house, multiple different families living in homes. And we wanted to see where this was all taking place. Because we're doing our deliveries, we didn't do any deliveries around our church. We did them all over on the other side of the tracks, if you will, on the other side of the Twin Cities. So we batched it all on a map and saw Lumber City Church is out here by the golf course, and God's favorite people are over here. Jesus moved into our neighborhood. We need to move into their neighborhood. We'd already been in some conversations about that. We always knew it. I mean, every time I preached, I my left hand would face west, and I always talk about where we were going. And that had been something that had always been there. And the reality of it, when we saw it on a map, really, really made it true to us. We were in a negotiation to actually trade our church building for one of the elementary schools where the North Tonawanda Youth Center was operating from, because we wanted to see that continue to thrive in that neighborhood. So we figured we'd come in and give them a permanent home. That sort of fell through. Our church, it was great when that fell through, when we said, all right, we're not going to be leaving our church and moving into an old elementary school over on the other side of town. There was a little bit of people were bummed. They were like, well, that's what we're here to do, isn't it? We've always been talking about doing this. And so I got together with my counsel, said, what do we do? And somebody stepped up and said, I resolved that we sell the church. I'm like, whoa, we don't have any place to go. I think there's faith.
Those AG people.
Stop being so charismatic.
God's going to show up, baby.
And so we wrote the resolution. I said, I'm not going to go and tell the congregation next week that we're going to sell the church. Opportunity after opportunity came. People Inc. Moving into town, doing some stuff. They wanted to do a town square meeting using our place. They come in, and we've got this opportunity to present this great property to somebody that might have the pockets deep enough to just buy it. And then, again, figure out where we would meet, because the church is the people, not the building. People knew that. A series of events led us to a place where we listed our property on a Tuesday afternoon. Wednesday morning, my co-pastor John Paul McLaughlin and I were moving, where we were going out to meet with the leadership of Fair Havens Church, who owned the building that we're hoping to purchase, because we just told our church the week before that hopefully that's what's going to happen. And so as we're leaving, we got a knock on the door. A man named Slavik walks in. He's very Eastern European, broken
the
English.
Name Slavik.
Yeah, that's his name.
It's in a tip of the hand that you're Eastern European. I mean, I'm Russian and Slovak, and that's we've got a few Slavics
when
that
you're
are
named,
Slavic.
When you're
in
named
our
after the actual country.
Yeah. Yeah. And his opening statement was, "You sell church to us." I said, "Oh, hold on! I don't even know what we're asking for the place.
We pay cash."
And so we left that meeting, went to this other meeting with Fair Havens Church. They were asking $595. We thought we were worth less than $4. Just all these amazing things happen with numbers if you're into that kind of stuff. To position us to be in a place where, after a Tuesday afternoon listing, Wednesday evening we've got a cash offer on the table for our property and an offer on this new building within 24 hours of listing.
Wow.
Things fall into place to the point where we look at on the map where we've batched these 174 households of these people. We know them. We've been to their homes. We love them. We want to be with them more. There's a woman came to one of our partner churches and asked her pastor. She said, "Now the family we adopted, is it okay if I continue to bring them stuff And he was like, well, what do you mean? You know, we don't want to bring them literature and kind of bomb them with that kind of stuff. She said, well, I was buying my family a pumpkin, and I thought they don't have a pumpkin. Can I buy them? And he said, his heart broke. Mm. He said, that's exactly what the ongoing relationship with this family. We were actually adopting these people from within our city. So it turns out now that we sell our property to the Evangelical Church of Buffalo, which is, I can't even figure out. They all tell me different numbers. They got like 500, 700, 100 kids in youth group. Sorry about the Russian accent.
It's actually pretty good. It reminds me of my grandfather. Yeah, good job.
And so what we figured out to be no less than 500 Eastern European Pentecostal worshipers who need a new place because there's no parking. Their church is exploding, and they're a regional draw, so geographic intentionality is different for them. It's more of a language church than anything else. So, I mean, all those things are falling into place. They've bought that property. So the best days for the property that we were given are ahead of it at this point, and then partnering with them and to be where we're at, which was Monsignor Szabo Hall, then Fairhaven's Community Center, Ascension Church campus, the place where music, art, gym, and lunch happened, is where we now have where our church meets on Sundays. Mm-hmm. It's not Lumber City Church. Lumber City Church is a body of people that meets at the Lumber City Hope Center. Lumber City. Right.
We wanted to kind of, maybe this is a good time for that since you mentioned it. Tell us where you got the name and maybe how it relates to the North Tonawanda.
Well, you know, we're right on the Erie Canal. You know, you cross the Erie Canal every time, and that is at the end of the Erie Canal. So timber that came across the Great Lakes was all milled up right there on at the end of the dock, if you will, in North Tonawanda. And there was a time before the railroads came in that all of that stuff went on barges and went up the Erie Canal to points east. And it was said that you could see piles of lumber for miles. And so they kind of nicknamed it the Lumber City. If you go there, the high school team is the Lumberjacks, Lumberjills. You can go to Lumber City Pizza, another plug. But it's it's the nickname of the city. And we thought, what better name for, and that's kind of been the model by, you know, planting Steel City in Lackawanna, Nickel City in North Buffalo. It's kind of taking on not just the neighborhood, but the persona of the neighborhood and being incarnate in that neighborhood. When you put we have a profile of the bridge that you should jump off of when there was no boats coming. We have a profile of that on our sign. We've not just adopted the name of the city. We're becoming incarnate in the city so that it's even identified with iconic things within our city. So people, there's already three or four hurdles that we've jumped over so that we can be more welcoming to the folks who already call it home. We're already home there with them. And so that's why Lumber City Church. Yeah, it's their church. It's God's church in the Lumber City. This is Jesus incarnate through this body of believers.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool town. There's so much history in Western New York. The Erie Canal alone, if you go up and down it to take it from North Tonawanda down and up into Lockport and then across into all the ports. A lot of people don't even realize why Gasport is Gasport and Middleport's Middleport and Lockport's Lockport. All surrounding the Erie Canal and all the industry that was here right down into Buffalo. It really is cool history. And that's why I like the name Lumber City, because it's reflecting back to the long legacy of Buffalo. And again, as you even feel like Buffalo is a home. And that's that, a lot of that all stems from that, just that longevity and that cool history that's in Buffalo. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. The gentleman you heard talking there was Chad Rieselman of Lumber City Church. He's the pastor there, started Lumber City Church after God led him to the Buffalo area, to Niagara Falls, and then ultimately North Tonawanda, where he just has a heart for the people of the North Tonawanda area. And it's just north of Buffalo, by the way, if you're listening and you're not from Western New York, you're maybe listening in Toronto or Canada or whatever. North Tonawanda is just north of Buffalo, right along the river and where the Erie Canal actually begins, right there, and flows up into Lockport and then across and so forth. So it's pretty cool just to hear the history there and what you're doing in North Tonawanda. We're going to hear more from Chad as we continue on today. Just hear more about what Lumber City is doing, what what has grown and then and allowed Chad to be a part of the church planning initiative within the Christ Together Network, which this is Christ Together Radio, so we're connected with that. So we want to kind of highlight maybe some of the things that are happening right now in the in church planning initiative and some of the exciting moves that are going on now. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. I'm Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy, Chad Rieselman, our guest today on Christ Together Radio.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy hosting every week. If you want more, to learn more or to hear more of Christ Together Radio, go to wdcxradio.com, click on Programs, scroll down the Christ Together Radio. You can catch up with past episodes. You can also send us an email. There's an email form right there. Or if you just want to send it from your computer on your own, it's ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's CTR, stands for Christ Together Radio, at wdcxradio.com. Send us an email, ask us a question, or if you know of something that maybe, hey, we don't pretend to know everything that's happening in our region. If you know of something, or if you're doing a work for God, or you have a friend who is that's just amazing and you think we need to know about it, let us know. Or if you have a question or problem or whatever, we'll try to help. So send us an email at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Joining us today in studio, Pastor Chad Rieselman from Lumber City Church in North Tonawanda, which is Lumber City, known as Lumber City. So it's Lumber City Church, and just so many cool things happening there. And it's amazing how God has called you to the area, and not only called you, but also just continues to open doors for you to make an influence in this region. Ryan, it's just it's great to hear, and it's encouraging for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, it's super exciting because it is a church, it's a gathering of people who really are efforting to live on mission, and there's no sacred cow for them, right? So if the building isn't the most effective way to reach into the lost pockets of the city, well then, okay, Lord, help us with a new facility. If it means that there are unique ways that the local church partners with secular organizations and agencies, then okay, Lord, you're going to have to help us on a couple things, figure out the partnership route, help us to preserve the gospel message as we do that. And isn't it amazing that God has shown up and helped the people of Lumber City to do just that? I think that's the beautiful thing, and it's something that, like, these are the stories that we can actually point people to, and we can, when people fly in from out of town and say, you know, the Church of Western New York, it just sounds too good to be true, you know, like, what's actually going on? We can actually drive people to these places. We can actually show people that these are real people doing the real work of the ministry, and it's not flashy, it's not sexy, but it is the work of the ministry that God has called them to, and I thank God for that. One of the things that I'm really appreciative of with Chad is it's not just about Lumber City. That Lumber City is a part of a network of churches called the Bridge Network. Okay, so it's not just Lumber City. And Lumber City has also been an influential member in the church planting initiative, which has its start here in 2017. And so, Chad, I'd love it if you'd share a little bit more about your heart to see more churches planted in the region, more expressions of God's bride, just living on mission. I know that's your heartbeat, but people don't know you, and I'd love for them to hear the passion that you have behind that.
Yeah. The passion for me is driven by a unique perspective. Having grown up outside of the church, sure, there was some church involvement things that happened a few times in my childhood, but no real deep connection to faith other than the prayers of my mother and, you know, grandparents and things of that nature. Growing up completely in a godless context, if you will, gives me a unique perspective, I think, in a lot of ways. When I was moving into this identity crisis and trying to find my identity in rock music, leading bands, fast cars, bikers, bikes, the whole deal, the amount of relationship that I had with lost people, that's all I've ever known is lost people. to me, Christians, it seemed more like Ned Flanders was, that I don't want to be like that. And when
Great Simpsons reference for those of you keeping score at home.
Yeah. Yeah. I diddly do. What that did for me was when I became a Christian, knowing what the inside of a club at 2 o'clock in the morning smells like, knowing what those people are going through, what they're trying to hide, what they're trying to run from, became for me I knew that the best thing that God was going to do with my faith, with my life, was to reach to that lowest place where He found me. And that's always been the impetus for me in church planting, is how do I affect the guys that I used to ride with, used to rock with, used to drink with, in such a way that the light comes on for them. Because I can't say, let's go into that building over there with stained glass and a steeple and listen to a message. They're not going to do that, because I wouldn't do that. It would literally take a different kind of witness. And that's what church planting is to me, is a different kind of witness to a different kind of demographic of people that the church, because of its nature, the way it exists in America right now, has been, and to no fault of their own, but society's gone, and a lot of our segment of society has gone in a completely different direction. So for me, church planting was, there was a Great White show in Rhode Island, you know, Great White, the band Great White, doing a club tour, which shows that they're kind of tanking, but at the same time, they did a pyrotechnics thing in a bar in Rhode Island, if you remember that. Mm-hmm. 28 people died in a fire that night,
right?
Wedged in a door. Mm-hmm. I'm not okay with that. Yeah. Those are my people. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we create something that they can at least have a threshold experience to say, wait a second, maybe God is real. Maybe there is power in this. And so one of the cool things about our move from a church with a pretty steeple and a great sanctuary into a basement of a rec center is that we've painted everything flat black. People say it looks more like a comedy club than a church. I say, great. Mm-hmm. That's great. Because my buddies that don't know Jesus are so much more apt to see those pictures online than the stained glass and the pulpits and all the different things, and say, it's just a connection in relation to that. And I think now, I know we've got a great friend in Brian Wandell, he was coming in and starting an Anglican church movement. By the way, if I wasn't doing what I was doing, I'd become an Anglican. It's just liturgy and evangelicalism all mixed. It's just the perfect vehicle for Western New York. So there's all these different ways of doing that. So how do we do that more? How do we do that in such a way that we're not just starting another organization of the church within a neighborhood, but becoming an organism that suits that neighborhood? Looking at Scripture to say, what does Scripture say about the people in my city, the people in my neighborhood, and how to reach them? And not looking at all the stats and all the different ways that churches are doing things, but what does God specifically want to do in this neighborhood with these people and these leaders to do the thing that He wants to do in that neighborhood? So that, again, maybe I get a little bit more passionate when we talk about church planting, but that to me is what really, really drives the passion for church planting.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of fun too. I mean, this is, so Chad and I, we serve on CPI together, the Church Planting Initiative. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, basically this year in 2017, this is the first year we've done this. So what CPI is it's basically, for those that may not be aware of it, it's about 16 churches have come together financially to put all of their money on a table and say, this is kingdom money and we want to plant kingdom works. And if God raises up planters in the region, we want to use this money to be a blessing to those planters. And so this year, CPI, in its first year, we planted an Anglican church, a Lutheran church for the Great Commission, a Korean Presbyterian church out of the PCA and a Korean denomination within that. We planted a Free Methodist church. And what's the last one that we helped plant? A Wesleyan church. Okay. Now, those tribes, those churches were planted by Chad as AG, Assemblies of God. I'm non-denominational, Chris Baldwin is Wesleyan. Dan Trippi is SBC Reform. We have Arnie Gwynn, who's North American Baptist, I believe. And we have, who else is on that team? Derek Castronova is Southern Baptist. Mm-hmm. And am I missing someone else?
I think you got him.
Okay, yeah. Jeremy Hazelton, which is Church of Christ and the Orchard Group. That happened. That actually happened in Western New York. And I defy you to show me a city that's who's
even
doing
gets
that.
Broader, Ryan, when you consider who's donating to
yeah,
the CPI.
And it's crazy. I mean, you know, those we have like 16 stakeholder donors from different denominations, but we also have another 35 churches that are interested perhaps at some point in donating to this. And like to me, this is the future, because even those church plants, who they're going to be able to reach and the style and the denomination, while they're all under Orthodox Christianity, it is going to require a myriad of different expressions of the bride to reach into all of those pockets. And I think that that's where, when God aligns the heart of someone like Chad and myself, you know, I'm at the largest church in our region, but we have a keen and deep and profound understanding that we will in no way, shape, or form reach this region by ourselves.
I can say this too, from the perspective, again, from which I come from, I'm not armchair quarterbacking this.
Yeah.
I don't care what denomination you're in when I'm lost and passed out. It doesn't matter if you're as a matter of fact, a lot of what we're doing with Christ Together sounds like a joke, a Methodist, a Wesleyan, a Baptist maybe not a bar. I don't think we've walked
Baptist
into a bar yet.
Wesleyans won't walk in a
bar. You know what's cool though? And I got to say this because people are probably going, wow, that just sounds like you're very loose. And, you know, I'm sure there's someone out there thinking that.
Right.
But there is a check and balance, and I can affirm that. And Ryan can, you know, from the Loose End Covenant and other things that the main things are the main things.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what's beautiful about the body of Christ. And Ryan, I've heard you say this at these meetings where it's, hey, we're not looking for you to check your doctrinal, like, second and third tier things at the door.
Right.
You guys still hang on to those and hold those closely. And
God's going to use those actually.
Yes. And you and Dan Trippi are going to see different on things, but but what you don't see different on is the gospel.
Right.
The main things. And
well, and that's like, so in our last meeting, when we were finalizing our decisions, the reality is our room is split on a pretty significant issue in the church. And that's, how are we doing on time?
2 minutes.
Okay. We're split on the egalitarian, complementarian issue. So, like, for those who may not know what those words mean, an egalitarian is basically men and women are equal and they can perform the same roles within the church. The complementarian view is men and women are equal, but God has wired them to perform different roles within the church.
Right.
And so that's in today's day and age, that's a pretty significant difference. Mm-hmm. In our room in the subcommittee, it's split. And Chad and I, we're actually on different sides of that conversation, but we're all within Orthodox Christianity. Jesus is the only way.
Yeah.
The Bible is authoritative. The Trinity is the real deal. The Great Commission is as inherent today as it was 2,000 years ago. These are incredibly important things that even on the second-handed issues like roles of men and women in the church, that's an important issue. It's a spirited issue. But it is not an issue that means that we can't work together if we land on a different side of that conversation.
Yep. Yep.
God is the only way for that conversation.
Absolutely.
For us to get past that, preserve our views of it, and still get the work of the ministry done.
You'd say, let's check that at the door and let's get the gospel.
That's profound.
Our community.
That's God.
It is profound. It's actually awesome to watch.
Yeah.
And I think that's the whole purpose of this show is to highlight to people that, look, it is possible and churches all don't hate each other.
Yeah.
In fact, we all work together in so many different ways. And I am so encouraged by that as somebody who kind of does like a parachurch ministry kind of thing, watching that from the sideline. It's just so cool to watch.
Yeah.
It's so cool to see and the fruits of that. And I think God, we are just beginning to see how God can use this and bless this for our city. So we're going to talk more about that. We're going to finish up our conversation here with Pastor Chad Rieselman from Lumber City Church, Ryan Cozy co-hosting as always, and myself co-hosting Brett Larson here on Christ Together Radio. So stay with us. It's just getting exciting.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brett Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, pastor of Missional Living at the Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy every week as we co-host Christ Together Radio right here on WDCX. Also find us online at WDCXradio.com. Under the programs section, you can click on Christ Together Radio and find out more about Ryan and myself and just what God has done in our lives, and also what the past programs have held, and who we've talked to, and just different things that God is doing across Western New York. We're here every week, 9 a.m. on Saturdays and 11 a.m. on Sundays. Tune us in. Every program's different. We have different people on from different contexts of ministries. It's been a learning experience for me from so many different things, from urban to suburban. Now we're talking with Pastor Chad from North Tonawanda. Just so many cool things happening in Western New York, Ryan. And we just finished up talking, or we're going to keep talking, yeah, about the church planting initiative, and just so many cool things happening there, and Pastor Chad's involvement, and just the different denominational and different expressions that are involved, but yet all gospel-centered.
And yeah, that's absolutely. So cool. Absolutely. And really, as we were talking about in the break, I feel like the Lord has really allowed us to navigate important issues. We would call them secondhand issues, but very important issues. Our firsthand issues, and this is important for people because, you know, when you hear churches getting together, people kind of like, well, okay,
you're
sacrificing something,
yeah,
right? So I think it's a good reminder. Our firsthand issues are right from the Luzon Covenant, which, yeah, for those who don't know historically, that was written coming out of Luzon, Switzerland.
I say Luzanne because I'm from Buffalo.
Okay, yeah.
Luzanne. Everything's an eh instead of an
Yeah, they do A's different in Western New York. Yeah. But that, that was basically, a gathering of world mission agencies and missionaries who basically were celebrating that they had gone to every continent. But what they didn't realize, and John Stott was keen to point this out back then, was, yes, we've gotten to every continent, but there are literally over 10,000 languages and tribes on the face of the earth at the time. I think it's over 16,000 now that they've identified. Yeah. And they had only reached a couple thousand languages. Mm-hmm. And so the work of the ministry had to continue at that point. And so what they did was they created markers like, okay, well, how do we stay Orthodox in our Christianity, but continue to do the work? We're a Presbyterian, a Methodist, a non-denominational, an Assemblies of God, and a Pentecostal. Like, can they actually work together? And they said, under this umbrella, that they could do that. And it meant, like, the Trinity is real. Jesus is the only way. The Bible is authoritative, big picture. And the Great Commission is vitally important. Those were kind of those overarching themes. And God has allowed us to do that at the Church Planting Initiative. And, one of the things I want people to understand, too, is, this is the CPI for me is not something that I say, hey, this is going to last for a year or two and it'll be great. I'm looking at Western New York and going, I think this is the vehicle for the next 30 years where churches from all different denominations that are within Orthodox Christianity in our region, they can come together and say, I've got cash on the barrel. I want to put money in the pot, and I trust a subcommittee of leaders to disseminate that money well. And so it's been fun to have Chad on that subcommittee with me. But what I wanted to do is I just wanted to get Chad's perspective in this final segment, which is, sure, Chad, you are a Buffalonian. I would call you a Buffalonian. I've only recently been called a Buffalonian after living here 19 years. But, you've had the opportunity to see things in different contexts, and not everybody in Western New York has had that opportunity. And I guess my question to you is, what do you think God is up to with things like CPI? Like, what is your observation? Like, how can this actually happen in a place like Buffalo? What's the deal?
Well, if you take a step back from it all and look at it again from the perspective of the outside in, God is going to have his way. No matter what we've done for as many years as we've done things the way we're going to do it, God's going to redeem, just like he redeems everything broken in our lives, if you will. There are some things that are broken about the church in America. I think those broken things are going to be the exact things that God uses to say, I am who I am, and I will do what I do. I think Jesus has a lot to say about that in John chapter 17. Yeah. That's for me is the root of what church planting and CPI and doing things together. It's a matter of unity around the person and work of Jesus Christ to reach lost people, no matter what the vehicle looks like. Yeah. He's going to have that and see that through. I'm a big dreamer guy too. I don't want to say, hey, maybe next year we'll plant 5 more churches. I want to say, well, what's stopping us from trusting God for doubling that number for the next 3 years or tripling it the third year, and saying, what? And instead of what would it look like to have a church here and a church there, what would it look like for Western New York to not have any place where you can ever go now that doesn't have a gospel-centered, poor-feeding, gospel-preaching expression in every neighborhood? And again, we talk about the differences. There's different ways of doing church, too, and I think church planting is the answer for that. Some people are going to ally with something that happens in one of their coworkers' living rooms every Thursday night for an hour. Right. That's just as much of a church as the chapel, Lumber City. God's presence there and his people gathering together to celebrate that.
Right.
So what kind of numbers could we talk? Well, Jesus is going to return, and wouldn't it be cool if we had thousands when he does?
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to, you know, I'm by no means prophesying. I'm by no means thus saying the Lord. I'd rather not say, what's the small picture, but what does God want for Western New York?
Right.
And why don't we just go after that?
Yeah.
And just say yes to everything he says yes to, say no to everything he says no to, and not do anything other than go for the big picture of however you want to do it. 5 major expressions per zip code, or 10 major expressions per school district. You know, the city's already got its pockets. It's got its different geographies and DNAs. Why don't we maximize that and say, well, not how many can we do next, but how many does God want to do overall? Let's just shoot for that.
Yeah. You know, it's a really good point, too. Like, you know, the 8 years prior to CPI starting within our gathering of churches, and God's planted more outside of this. I think that's, like, please hear me when I say that, but within our network of partner churches, like, we saw 25 churches planted in 8 years in Western New York. And there was a missiologist who was pretty influential in many of our lives by the name of Dwight Smith. And he just challenged us to plant one church for every 50,000 people that had the DNA to want to see every man, woman, and child have repeated opportunities to hear, see, and respond to the gospel. Well, in October of 2015, that happened. We had planted one church for every 50,000 people in 8 years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I called Dwight and I'm like, what do we do next? He's like, cut the ratio in half.
Yeah.
One church for every 25,000. So our hope is that CPI is going to get us to one for every 25,000, one for every 12,500, one for every, you know, 6,750, and just get it down to basically one church, ideally, for every 1,000 people. And I don't know how it's going to spread in zip codes. I don't know how it's going to spread in counties. But I just, honestly, my prayer is that God will give me enough years to see this happen.
Yeah.
That's been my big prayer in this process.
You know what's so cool, Ryan, is that there's churches involved that aren't holding on to their program, their design, their structure as the way.
Right.
We had so much of that growing up in the church, and there were so many... I remember when Willow Creek exploded. Everybody was trying to do the Willow Creek model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everybody was trying to be something because, oh, that worked there, and I must be that. And, you know, we have a church that you're a part of that you're employed by the chapel, and it's just, it's a large church. It's what we would call a mega church, and it has its thing.
Yeah.
But what I love about what the chapel is doing is they're saying, hey, this won't work like everywhere else. So we want to invest in things that will work.
Right.
And it's kind of like, Chad, what you have done at Lumber City is like, what does this city need for this time, for these people right now, and we'll become that.
Yeah.
And that's biblical. That's what Paul did.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, it's neat to see that we're finally like, waking up to that in the church, to where let's get behind things that work for that city, that context, that pocket.
That's good.
It just makes sense.
Yeah.
And it, I would just say it's fun too when God lets you do this with friends. You know, it's not always a guarantee that you're going to get to do this, but I love working with Chad. I love working with Chris Baldwin. I love working with Dan Trippi. I love working with Derek Castronova. I love working with Arnie Gwynn and getting to know him better, and Jeremy Hazelton. And I hope I'm not leaving anybody out. I love this.
Yeah.
And I've even seen God begin to open up church relationships that for years were closed off. Now we're sitting at table together, breaking bread, and we're thinking, how do we reach lost people in Cheektowaga? How do we reach lost people in Depew? How do we reach lost people in Gasport? How do we reach lost people in Youngstown? It's literally God's been opening our minds and our hearts to the whole region, and our praxis, our approach to it is very open-handed, but it's orthodox. And I think that's the beautiful thing that God, there's only one way that that can happen. And I think that it's because God's Holy Spirit is leading us in that. Yeah. And we are not perfect. Please understand this. But even in the midst of our imperfection, God has still begun to steer us.
But we're beginning to act like family.
Yeah, we are.
We actually care about each other, and that we can come in low enough and kind of forget the disagreement, or forget the, you know, 20 years ago, someone from your church did this. It's leave all that behind. And you say it a lot, Ryan, come in low.
Yeah,
that's boiling down to the level of how we're discipling folks at Lumber City Church too, because the outcome of our discipleship process is, although ours are probably different than many churches, the outcome is that we're the Holy Spirit is actively involved in leading every single person in a discipleship relationship within our church, to doing what the church leadership is doing on a larger scale to plant churches. If one church plants one church, in the same way, that is the essence of what their lives are being lived out on a day-to-day basis. We've got a woman who has a vision for her husband to get baptized. And that's her mission. Mm. You talk about tens, she's down to one.
Yeah.
I mean, and to go after one at a time, and that be because from, if you will, the bottom up, top down, however you want to look at the leadership structure, to be that we're leading churches where the expectation is that the number one value is that the gospel is preached to every single man, woman, and child. That becomes the responsibility of discipleship in the church too. So organizationally, it's changing the DNA of the way churches can be planted,
right,
and to not have to worry about sacred cows or programmatic things, and just to have a very wide latitude, again, to look at Scripture and say, what does Scripture say about North Tonawanda, and how do we apply this to those people right there? Yeah. Preach the gospel, run toward the poor, every single person in your church doing that. Yeah.
That was the voice of Pastor Chad Rieselman from Lumber City Church. We've talked to him for the past few weeks about what God has done in his life, and also just has allowed him to plant Lumber City Church in the city of North Tonawanda, and just reaching people with the gospel that are in need of Christ. And we've heard from so many of those people throughout the different episodes here on Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy as we co-host every week here on Christ Together Radio, Saturdays at 9 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., tune us in every week. And if you want to find out more, check us out online, WDCXradio.com. Click on programs, go down to Christ Together Radio. You can send us an email or check out our past programs and maybe just explore more about what God has done. This program will be up there in a few weeks. And so just if you want to hear back, or if there's something that was said, or if you missed last week's episode where you heard Chad's story, that was a great, great episode and great story of how Chad got to North Tonawanda. We'll be back next week, so don't miss it. And we're looking forward to talking to you more about what God is doing throughout Western New York via Christ Together Radio.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.